going on, guys? That's Cullen Conley.
And that's Anthony Sellers.
And this is
Browns in Our Blood.
So, it's been a while.
It's been a few months.
Yes.
Since the NFL season and disappointment for your beloved Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
And my beloved Oakland Raiders. Whoops.
Las Vegas Raiders. The new CBA was actually ratified.
It was. It barely passed, but they got it done. Yeah, it barely passed. 51.5 over 48.5, the players voted to approve the CBA through 2030. So no work stoppages. That's not related to a crazy disease for the next 10 years for the NFL, which is good.
Yeah.
I got the list right here. I just happened to run across this. So shout out to After Orange Slices on Instagram for posting this. So two more playoff teams have been added starting this season.
Yeah.
17-game season starting as soon as 2021, as the owners still have to vote on it, but I'm guessing that the owners will want that extra game money. Minimum salary bump, higher player revenue share, current player contracts will be adjusted, active roster jumps from 46 to 48 players. It eliminates suspension for positive marijuana test, so Josh Gordon may be on the field again someday. And
it does not do anything for reinstatement.
He's
still on the outside looking in.
And then increased fines for training camp holdouts is what I got here.
I did not see that, the increased fines. That's new.
It doesn't apply to rookie deals, though. So I guess if you're on your rookie deal, you can still pitch fit, and it's okay. They're fine with that. But I guess if a 10-year vet decides he doesn't want to come to camp, they can fine him. So, like Antonio Brown, they could fine him. If anybody has the gall to sign him, I'm sure someone will. We're not talking about Antonio Brown. So what do you think of the new CBA stuff? Still no guaranteed money. Let me throw that in there real quick. Still no guaranteed contracts. Like, you know how...
Oh, like NBA and stuff? Yeah. No. That's something that's probably never going to happen in the NFL. But overall, I think it's going to be good for both sides. Like, they both conceded stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the owners wanted $250K cap on the 17th game, but they relinquished that pretty quick.
Yeah, because they won that 17th game.
Because the top-end players are like, no, that's not happening.
Right.
I'm kind of torn on that 17th game overall, though.
Mm-hmm.
They're
not short in the preseason, are they?
No, they are. The preseason's down to 3 games.
Okay.
And the article that I read said that there is a... going to make it a bye week between that third preseason game and the actual first week of the NFL season. So you'll play the three preseason games, then you'll have a week off, and then start the season the next week. So two weeks later, basically.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, I guess technically there's 2 byes within the time of the games being played, but not 2 bye weeks.
So one in season, one before the season.
Exactly. Which,
okay,
it's kind of, I think they should have, like, if they could have found a way to make it 2 bye weeks within the regular season, I think that would have been better.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, they would just push it back a little bit further into February, the whole season with the Super Bowl and everything.
Well, yeah.
As long as they're still getting the week before the Super Bowl starts, of course. I don't know. I haven't read anything about that, whether or not they're going to jump right to the Super Bowl after the conference championship games. But more than likely, they'll still have their week off. And then have the lead up to the game with the media week and everything.
That's something we're not going to find out till 2021 season. So
yeah, obviously. So we're still a ways off from that.
Yeah. The 14-team playoffs changes it down to only the one seed gets a bye. I'm curious on what you think about that.
I like it, honestly, because
it adds value to the one seed.
It really does. Because look at the Patriots last year. Like, the Patriots started out really well, and they... I mean, obviously, they didn't get the bye, and they lost in the playoffs. But with the AFC East being what it is, they were coasting for most of the season and had this great record that had them lined up to get a bye. And ultimately, it all fell apart towards the end of the season for them. But at the same time, when you're in a weaker division and you're just dominating and you're able to get those wins easier than a team in a competitive division, I really think that it will help in the long run to make the one seed more valuable. And I just think we'll see a lot more competitive football games overall. Like, even in those weaker divisions, I just think it's going to be good for the game, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Later in this, like, the last week of the season, you'll see it a little bit more competitive.
Yeah.
However, I don't like the fact that nearly half of your league is in the playoffs. I mean, you think about it. you know, 14 out of 32. I personally like the whole 16 playoff setup personally, mm-hmm. but for this league, but
well, this is the
first, I can understand why.
It's the real first changes to the number of teams that get in since like the wild card started, which is like 91 or something when they started the wild card. So with that being said, I think the opportunity to get more teams in is also exciting because you will have those teams that normally don't make the playoffs get in, and then it's football. So who knows who could be hot at the right time and get a couple upsets in there.
It adds to having, I guess, you know, you won't have a team that's like 9-7 that won the division in the playoffs and a team that's 10-6 but finished second in the division not make the playoffs based off of seedings and things like that. So it gives that 10-6 team a better chance to go, well, you know, 10-7 now, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of...
There's pros and cons. And yeah. Until we see this in action and really kind of see it unfold for the first time, we're just speculating and throwing things at the wall. So.
True. The other big thing was minimum salary pay increases.
Mm-hmm.
This jumps to $100,000.
Yeah.
For those ones. And that's where most of the players are at.
Mm-hmm.
I saw somewhere where 60% of the league was on minimum salaries last year.
Wow.
Like crazy. 60 or north of, just north of one mm-hmm. of the two. So.
I wouldn't have thought that. Like, you're the salary guy. You like to look at salaries.
Yeah, I like to look at that stuff.
And look at caps and everything. And I'm more like, just tell me who's on my team, you know? I don't go that deep, but especially in the NFL with it being such a physical sport, like, getting those teams and players opportunities to make more money for doing what they do, especially when they have such a small window nowadays to make the most money they can. I think that's definitely a cool thing. So, next topic you have written down here, and we're going to get more into Brown-centric territory.
Yeah.
So, what team needs do the Cleveland Browns need to fill? What positions, what does this team need?
Going back, everybody kind of already knows that offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that
yes.
was
horrendous.
Safety is, right now there's only... I think two players that are under contract at safety, Sheldrick Redwine, which wasn't a starter.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
Cedric Redwine, baby.
Sheldrick.
Mr. Redwine, baby.
I also think D-line, depth at D-line. I've been preaching that since last year, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a good conversation about that towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and linebackers, since they're not going to re-sign Schobert, and they let... Adarius Taylor go, which should have happened because Adarius Taylor did absolutely nothing last year.
Yeah.
So I don't trust relying on solely Taki Taki and Mac Wilson personally.
Mm-hmm.
They're still too young and have stuff to learn. So I think finding another veteran linebacker that's obviously going to be cheaper than what they thought Schobert,
mm-hmm.
you know, is something they should go after.
When does NFL free agency begin? Should be coming up really soon.
Right now, the plan is March 18th.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I don't think I see any reason why that can't be pushed back. All that stuff can be done over the phone.
Yeah.
Do it over the phone, post it on social media. That's it. If y'all don't want to get together and hold jerseys yet, understand.
Exactly.
But, so, how much cap is, does the Browns have a lot of cap space right now? Like, do they have a little room? Cause
they have $62.5 million about.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a little bit of wiggle room, but if they're planning for contracts of the future, like Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward,
mm-hmm.
Baker. Yeah, those are the three off the top of my head that I think of that are the most important. Nick Chubb could be thrown in there too.
Yes. Going into season three.
So there's those ones that they'll have to worry about. Then they probably won't overspend too much.
Yeah, I think they'll be rather conservative because a lot of this season is going to be about readjusting things from last season that didn't work, I think. And then really trying to like bring a lot of the same talent on the field while filling in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see them going out there and spending a whole bunch of money just to try to win now. Because as much as I know you and all of Browns fans would love it for y'all to start winning now, y'all got to be smart at the same time. and make sure you don't over-obligate yourselves to ridiculous contracts that you have to figure out a way to get rid of, like, a season or two from now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's... The talent's there.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to fill in, like, small pieces, you know? Mac Wilson and Taki Taki are talented. They need another veteran presence, I think, for that linebacker room. So,
anybody you got your eye on out there?
Former West Virginia player.
Which
Nick,
one?
Nick Kwiatkowski.
Oh, okay.
I forget. I hope that's how you say his name. I know it's spelled weird.
We'll get it right on one of the episodes.
Yeah.
If he signs, of course.
Yeah. I would personally, that's who I would like to see him.
Okay.
I think he's going to be a lot cheaper than, well, maybe not a lot cheaper.
Where's he been playing at?
Chicago. He was drafted by Chicago.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
So he's his first year, like, off his rookie deal?
I think so.
Okay. Miles Garrett got reinstated, by the way.
So. Oh, yeah. We forgot. It's been a while since we talked about that.
So. Miles Garrett is reinstated. He's back. They're still speculating whether Rudolph did or whether Rudolph didn't.
Who cares?
But Mason Rudolph is trash. We can agree on that. Because he wanted that smoke and he sure got it.
Yep. I'm glad he's back, though.
Yeah.
That's going to help out a lot. But they still.
I didn't think there wasn't any doubt that he wouldn't be back. Because it was a. One that, like we said at the time of the thing,
it was an isolated incident.
And not like he was a badass his whole career and a dirty player. No, this was just. One thing,
he wasn't like Vontaze Burfict or Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, I know, right?
Where they constantly do dirty stuff
for fun.
I still think I'm interested in what they do with the D line,
mm-hmm.
just because there's been a lot of talk on Browns Twitter about
shout out to Browns Twitter
about Olivier Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of died down recently, but there's been talk about keep him, let him go, and like that's one of the ones that's most interesting to me, is because like I'm torn on it. Because we're getting Garrett back, and when they were on the field together last year,
they were kind of
with Sheldon Richardson and Ogunjobi. That line was really good.
Yes.
And the only problem I had was there was no depth behind them. They had to stay on the field a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw what happened after Garrett was gone.
No.
And then Vernon got injured and pulled away. He's been doing the last three seasons. He's gotten injured the last three seasons. That's the tide that turns. You know Vernon's talented. But
can he stay on the field?
Yeah.
That's the
biggest question. That's why I think you need to find D-line depth. I wouldn't be mad either way what they do with Vernon personally.
Okay.
Like I'll be happy if he stays. I won't care if they cut him. You know, cuz that's another $15 million on cap space they could have.
Yeah.
So,
gotta keep that paper.
The way it's looking now, he's staying on the roster though.
Okay.
That's the way it's kind of looking now.
It's going to be an interesting couple. That next 8 weeks for the Browns will be interesting because free agency is going to open and the draft, as far as we know, is still going to happen in April. So there is a lot coming up where the roster is going to begin to take shape for the 2020 season.
Yeah.
So it's an exciting time because you always get your hopes up, and obviously that's what all of us did here on Browns Under Blood, as things developed last season, leading to our sunglasses in front of the football stadium moment. Like, oh yeah, this is 13-3. That was me. This is going to be a great year. And there was positives, but it was definitely disappointing for all of us.
Yeah.
So I'm eager and ready to get back to regular football now that the XFL has been canceled. So, yeah.
I like the XFL.
I caught a little bit of it. There's nothing against the XFL.
This what they did this time around was a lot better than what they did back in 2001.
The first time was a lot of...
a lot of WWE.
Definitely over the top.
It was definitely more for entertainment rather than just focusing on the actual sport and talent.
Yeah.
So.
Very true. So, yeah, I mean, and free agency, like, the past few years has been... kind of big. It's not NBA big by any means, but like I love to get on Twitter and just see everything happening. Like this guy did this, and he signed here, and speculations, and it's like, and it's just nonstop, and it's crazy because the way it unfolds it's pretty exciting, even when it's not your team. It could be sad if you're losing a player that y'all really like, but c'est la vie, you know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The elephant in the room, I guess. I don't know if y'all peeped out, Anthony did a little tribute video to one Eric Jordan. He has decided he will no longer be a part of Browns in Our Blood on a regular basis. He has said he would like to come back as a guest, so we're going to hold him to that.
Yes.
But with he's fine from his surgery right away. Like, we kept saying he's on the injured reserve and stuff. He's doing great. I've seen him a few times since the new year started, and he's doing quite well. But he's decided he wants to focus more on other projects outside from his normal life obligations.
You guys noticed his channel, you notice it's a lot about music. So
yeah,
that's his true passion.
He wants to get back to music. Yeah. Yeah,
he's good at it too.
He's very good at it. And that's one of the reasons why we're best friends. We bonded over music. So he will no longer be on the show regularly. He supports the decision for Anthony to move forward with Browns in Our Blood. This is a brand new Browns channel. All the episodes are now on there thanks to this man's hard work and dedication. There's a Browns Twitter now, B-I-O-B show,
yep.
I believe. He's hitting Browns Twitter on the regular with that, and then he also is tweeting them from his own account, so he's always in the mix there. But the show will go on.
Yes.
And Anthony has a couple ideas for what's going to go forward, so I'm going to stop rambling and let him kind of say some things now, because I'm not going to be here all the time. I'll be here some, but I'm not going to be here all the time. And I'm not leaving the show, but it's his show. He's the Browns fan. This is the guy you want to hear talk. You know, I can sit here and be like, yeah, that's a great move. Blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, no, his name's Sheldon. Sheldrick. What? See? Like, he knows. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I am supposed to be the producer of this. So, Anthony, what are your plans for Browns in Our Blood season 4 for 2020?
I want to incorporate live streams on YouTube, so
okay.
Guys, comment down below. Let me know what you think, if that would be a good idea and stuff. And also, on a good night, what you think would be a good night. I have an idea. I just thought I'm not 100% sold on it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, that's really the only other thing I want to do, is incorporate live streams and then, you know, do these regular shows and stuff.
There will be live streams and the show will go on.
Yeah.
And the show will still be coming out in podcast format, because as soon as it hits YouTube, I ripped audio.
That's all him.
Yeah, that's all me. So I will be handling the podcast content still. But Browns in Our Blood season 4, we're cautiously optimistic again.
Yeah.
Real cautiously optimistic. But
circle of life.
Yeah.
It's like,
it really is. But we do want to make sure that y'all know that please subscribe to the new Browns in Our Blood channel. There's not a dedicated URL yet because we need more subscribers. So hit that subscribe button. Hit that bell. And you'll never miss a notification from
Browns in Our Blood.
Exactly. Make sure that you're following them on social media. Do you have a Facebook page too? Or did you just do Twitter?
No, I just did
Twitter.
I just did Twitter.
Yeah, BIOB show on Twitter. That's that man. He's on it on Browns content, man. So make sure you check him out. He's throwing his opinions out there, his valuable, actual, backed up opinions, instead of me, who's like 13-3. I'm going to say that all season long. And then also, you can subscribe to the podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, like Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Brought to you by Hyphen Podcast Group, Morgantown, West Virginia based podcast collective, bringing great podcasts to the people. And the FanDuel thing. But there's no FanDuel stuff right now. There's literally no FanDuel stuff. FanDuel's like, hey, if there's a sport, you can bet on it. Until then, I got that email. Did you get that email from FanDuel?
If I did, I didn't look at it.
Yeah, I got one from the Sportsbook and from FanDuel. And they're like, hey, we know everybody's real worried right now. But if there's a live sport, you can bet on that. Otherwise, our hands are tied. So... And you can still get all your money. Now, if you want to access your money, it's there. So, that's good.
Till next time. Probably next week.
That's Anthony Sellers.
That's Kellen Conley.
And this has been...
Browns in Our Blood.
Browns in Our Blood.
Hello. This is former President Barack Obama, the greatest president of your lifetime. I wanted to take some time out of my busy schedule of doing nothing to tell you about Hyphen Podcast. Now... Kellen, while he hasn't always agreed with my policies, I still like the son of a And while I can't make you vote or listen to every podcast, please listen to Hyphenation, the world's greatest podcast. Take it from me, I killed Bin Laden's Trust my taste in podcasts. Hyphenation, featuring Kellen Conley and semi-regular co-hosts Marcus, Sean, Mallet, Robinson. You know, Kellen Pods, Marcus Wright. It's a better tandem than the 96 Chicago Bulls. And I know, I killed Bin Laden. And Kanye was still jacked. But for Michelle and the girls, all love to Hyphen Nation and the Hyphen Podcast group. And keep bringing your daughter on. She's beautiful. And I know. Well, you know.
Hiya, Puddins. It's your girl, Harley Quinn, a.k.a. Dr. Harleen Quinzel, here to tell you all about It's Like a Podcast or whatever. We talk about nerd stuff and life stuff, and if you want to know what we're about, check out the Powie Awards, our 100th episode, Q and Slay, or Theater from Our Butts. Have a good day, Puddins, and love, trust, and belief.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
They're the bestest. I'm getting paid at exposure.